We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians, where we're going to start. It'll be a shorter sermon tonight, just what the Lord has. We already got fed once, but the message is it's going to be I'm not going to actually preach a sermon. I'm going to give you some Bible points as far as just what God says. It's not going to be really a ton of elaborating. And then just give you something to do so you get homework. I'm getting ready for school. And so you're excited about the kids. They get to go to school. You tell them, be diligent, do your homework. So we get to school too. And don't worry, I haven't been to school since a few years. And so it'll be good for us to have a little homework. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And again, we'll let kind of the Bible explain itself tonight with just a few simple points here. Furthermore, this is verse 1, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave unto you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Everybody, well, I don't know the will of God. The Bible tells you what the will of God is. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So keep yourself morally pure. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. All right, we're going to talk about get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. And Lord, this is a kind of different message, Lord, so I pray that I would not get in the way of what you want to say the way you want to say it. People have come, they're hungry, they come back on a Sunday night, they've driven some distances, and some of them didn't get any rest this afternoon, and some got a busy week ahead of them. I pray you'd reward them and give them great truth and wisdom and speak to their hearts. We praise you, we pray to you, we've fellowshipped, and Lord, we just pray that we would hear from you, Lord, in a good way that'll convict us if we need it, that'll strengthen us if we need it, but it would give us grace to do whatever we need to do. That, Lord, if you speak to somebody, may they, because, Lord, this is a little harder message, Father, of what to do. If you speak to them, give them the determination and the grace to do what they're spoken to about. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 4, he says, I want everyone of you to know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Possess your vessel. The word possess means to get or to acquire. I possess keys in my pocket. And so he says, I want you to possess, to acquire, to get something. I want you to grab a hold of and get your vessel. And it's our bodies. And get them into sanctification and honor. But you gotta catch those. We were in Chicago one time. We had a couple different routes on our bus. We had bus routes, but we had one bus. We were short on buses, so we had two different routes. And Brother Justin Soto was the other bus route. He had a little kid named Beto. Some of the kids named Beto was a pudgy little Mexican boy, probably I don't know, 8 or 9. Just about this big and pudgy. And he had a gimpy leg. I don't know what his leg was, but he always had a gimp to him. And we went to a park, and we're going to take the kids to the park that day after church. We're driving back from church, and we stopped at the park, and it looked kind of soggy out there. So I told one of the workers, go check and see how soggy the field is. And Beto takes off out the door. And I said, while you're out there, get Beto and bring him back in the bus. Well, Beto gets out of the bus, and he goes, you know, gimps out of the park. And out he goes. And so the worker, you know, goes out there, feels kind of soggy, and says, Beto, come here. Well, Beto's a Southside Chicago bus kid. He doesn't come when you call him. And so he doesn't come. And so he comes back, and he said, Beto doesn't want to come, and it's too wet to do that. I said, okay, go tell him to come here. And so he goes back out, Beto, come here. And Beto doesn't come, and he starts grinning. And so the worker goes after him. And this is the 19, 20-year-old college student, athletic and young, little gimpy, fat little Mexican kid with a gimp. And out goes the worker after him, and he's about to grab Beto, and Beto just, I don't know how he does it, boink, he jumps out of the way and he can't grab him. He mysteriously moves out of the way. And so I'm like, come on, get the kid. We got to go. And he starts trying to get this kid. And I don't know how he did it, but Beto couldn't run fast, but the guy couldn't catch him. He was in training for his future life as a criminal and running from police. And so I look at another worker, and, you know, we got six or seven, you know, male workers who are college students. And I said, will you go help him catch Beto? Well, two workers can be like, catch Beto, okay? He's not fast. And they both go out there, and it was like Keystone Cops or Abbott and Costello. They're chasing Beto. He's running around. Gimpy running around there. And they try to grab him. They'd be right next to him, and he'd jump out of the way, and they'd miss him, and they couldn't get him. They just about have a hold of him, and they'd slip and fall in the slipperiness, and they're all muddy in their suits now. So I go, would some of you guys go catch him? But now it's getting funny. And I'm laughing and laughing and going, how are they catching this kid? And I don't know. To this day, I don't know how they couldn't catch him. And we had about four or five workers, and they are falling in the mud. They are trying to get him. And he's just grinning. They're gimping around. And they are missing him. And I'm just, at that point, who cares how late we are? I am laughing my head off. I said, how is this kid doing this? How can something that's so sitting right there and so obvious, why can't they catch this kid? Eventually, they catch Beto. They drag him by the shirt back on the bus, and he's just grinning the ear. He thought that was the funnest game. He wants to come back to church next week. And that was like, how can you not do that? It's right there. It's easy. It's obvious. Grab the kid. But he's hard to get him. For whatever reason, he was just hard to catch. It says here that you should possess your vessel. Possess your body. Get a hold of it. And get a hold of yourself. And it says in a certain way that none of you, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You are controlling your body and you're keeping it pure. And the context here is moral pureness. and not like the unsaved. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. You should not be living in lust, living in immorality, or any of that stuff, pornography and all the evil things, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. The word concupiscence, it means a longing for the forbidden. It's a bad thing. You're not to live like that, and you're supposed to get a hold of yourself and not live like that. And I want to ask you: do you possess a body, or does the flesh possess you? Because you're supposed to be in control of your flesh. Your flesh is all that is in the flesh. The Bible says in 1 John 2: for all that is in the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. Your flesh is your natural desires that go towards evil. And the Bible says it's your enemy, and you're not supposed to live in the lust of the flesh. And your flesh doing what it wants to do, you're supposed to get a hold of your flesh and tell it what to do. So the opposite of that is Jesus, when his flesh is saying, I don't want to go to the cross. And he says, sorry, flesh, I'm controlling you. You're not controlling me. But somebody else, they don't want to keep gaining weight, and they're getting terribly obese, and they can't eat this. It's going to make them very sick, or they're in bad health, but they can't stop it. Why? Because their flesh is controlling them. And another person can't quit committing adultery because their flesh is in control of them, not them in control of their flesh. And so you've got to get a hold of yourself. Your flesh, it's you, is Bethel. It's right there. You know what it is. You know what it wants to do, but you've got to get a hold of it. It wants acceptance more than it wants to do what Jesus wants. Your flesh says, I don't want people not to like me. I'm going to just do what they want, even though they want you to do something ungodly. Your flesh says, you want to lose your temper and tell them off. And you've got to be controlling your flesh and saying, you're not in charge here. I'll tell you what to do. You're not going to tell them off. You're going to love them and bless them. See, there's the flesh here, and you've got to get a hold of it and possess yourself and do that. And the question is, do you possess a body, or does your flesh and desires possess you? That's the question. Well, I just couldn't help it. You just admitted that you're living in sin. Because you should be able to help anything. You should be able to control yourself. And you should be under control of your fleshly desires and what your flesh tells you to do. And so the Bible gives us some steps of getting control of ourselves. And he uses some phrases. And I'm just going to give you, I got seven verses. of what God says we're supposed to do to our bodies, how we're supposed to control them and stuff, and how to think of them. And so let me just go through and give those to you. It's not super complicated, but it's pretty tough to do. Romans 12 will be the first one. The first one we're supposed to do. Romans 12. In verse 1, a familiar verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, so your body's supposed to be holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. After what God's done for you, giving you life and salvation and eternal everything, it's reasonable that you give God your life back. It's a reasonable service. And so he says, present your body a living sacrifice. It's not killing yourself as a sacrifice. It's an interesting phrase the Bible doesn't use in the Old Testament because they killed the sacrifices. He said, you're going to be a living sacrifice. Okay? So the phrase God uses is a living sacrifice. You are something that's dead. Your flesh is dead, but you're alive physically, but you're a living sacrifice to God. You say, God, send me anywhere, do anything with me, anything you want to do. It doesn't matter what I want. I am a living, I'm the lamb that was given to go be sacrificed. I am your lamb. I'm a living sacrifice. If you need me to die for the cause, if you need me to live for the cause, if you need me to go to a foreign country, if you need me to stay here, whatever you need to do, I'm a living sacrifice for you. You have sacrificed your life for God. It's your reasonable service. By the way, that's what Jesus did. He sacrificed himself for us. And so a reasonable service is you give your body a living sacrifice. Well, you can't give a sacrifice if you don't have possession of the animal. If you can't control yourself, you can't give yourself as a living sacrifice. You've got to get a control of yourself. You've got to choose what your body does. I think an amazing illustration of that was Isaac. If you really think about that story, Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice him. Probably Abraham was 115, and probably Isaac was 14 or 15. Pretty hard for a man like that to tie his son up to kill him. But he said, Dad, what's going to happen up here? He was willing and just submitting, even if it meant sacrificing. We don't know that for sure, but it sure seems to indicate that. He had a great attitude going up to the mountain. And so we need to go to God and say, Lord, here's my life, and I give it to you. But you cannot say that. Understand that. You cannot say, God, here's my life, if you don't have control of your life. It's like me saying, hey, you know what? Here's Charlie's car. You can have it. I can't do that. I don't have possession of the car. He has the title. He has the key. And so I can't say, God, here's my life if I can't control myself. If I'm not under control of my desires, if I can't say, Lord, whatever you want to do, Lord. You want me to go bless my enemy? Sure, that's fine. You want me to go love my enemy? That's fine. You want me to stay up all night and pray? Okay. But I don't want to do that. That's not a biblical statement. Doesn't matter what you want to do. You're a living sacrifice. You are, Lord, what do you need? I'm at your beckon and call. So first thing is present your body a living sacrifice. Second thing is we're supposed to be temperate. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 9. We were here this morning, but we'll be back here tonight. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. And verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now there's two parts to this here. First is temperate. He says these people are looking to win a big prize, to win the Olympics or whatever they're trying to do. They do it to obtain a crown, but they're temperate in everything. They're trained. They are under control. They are deciding. The word temperate is a funny word. It means to be restrained in diet and chastity. To be restrained in diet and chastity. In other words, this person who's trying to win this Olympics, he is controlling what he's eating, when he's with his wife, everything. He is morally pure. He's determined. He's focused. He's on edge. He's a machine. He does that. He's temperate in all things. But then the phrase that Paul says about himself, in order for him to be temperate, so they're doing it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we're temperate in order to get an incorruptible crown. So we're temperate also. We are temperate in all things. Temperate. We're restrained. Okay? And then he says, look what he says that he does, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I keep under my body. Keep under is a weird word with the word he used in the Greek. Greek word is hupopiadzo. Hupopiadzo. Here's what it means. Literally, I'm going to read word for word the definition of the word. It means to hit under the eye, buffet, or disable an antagonist or pugilist. That is, figuratively, to tease or annoy into compliance. Subdue one's passions. That's the definition of it. It's buffet. It's beat yourself up. It's I bring my body into subjection. I pound it under the eye. Bam, bam. And he said, I taunt it and I force it. You know, when I read that definition, I've never read that definition before. When I read that definition, I laughed at that because that's what I have to do to myself. I don't have to punch myself all the time. I just have to deny myself all the time to keep my body under subjection. My body just gets too desirous and gets what it wants. And we'll explain a little later, but when your body gets, when your flesh gets strong, you have to bring it back into control. And what I always have to do is just say, you knock it off. You can't have that. Stop it. No, you can't have that. No. You know what? As a matter of fact, I do the funniest little things. You would laugh at little things that I have to do to myself when I'm right to tell my body it's not in control. I will have an itch and I won't scratch it. Try that sometime. If you ever watch me twitch a lot, that's what's wrong with me. But you know what? Why? Because my body says, you need to itch that. And I say, wait a minute, I'll decide if I itch that. Sometimes I'm in there in a comfortable, cold, nice warm shower, and I'll just turn the heat off, the hot water off. Say, fly fish says, I don't want that. And I say, no, that's you're not in control here. And sometimes I want to finish those last few bites, and I'm just, because I'm a weird eater, okay? When I eat, it is beautiful. I eat everything in cycles until I get the best bite of each thing left. Best bite of the burger, best bite of French fries, enough pop to wash it down. And it takes talent to get to do that. Everything just balanced perfectly. And right when I get it all down and it's all the best crispy French fry, best bite of my burger, my kid walks by and grabs my French fry and everything's out of kilter. And everything's ruined. And then I'll say, all right, flesh, you sure want that, don't you? You've been controlling me and everything. You know what? We're tossing it away. It's a very funny sight watching me going, no, don't do it. And you gotta, and it's you're taunting your body. You're taunting your body. You're taunting your body. You're saying, I'm going to push you into submission. I don't want to go say hi to that person. I want to be in my little bubble. And I'll say, you know, flesh, I know you don't want to go say hi. Go say hi and be friendly. My flesh says, I don't want to do that. And you buffet, you beat up, you hit and hit and hit and hit your body. You can physically beat yourself if you want, but I find it a lot easier and a lot less unattractive when you're walking around with black eyes. I find a lot just to deny myself. I want a drink of cold water. I love cold water. I'll drink warm water. I don't want to get up. I'm going to get up. And I find it that when I do that, it makes me die to myself. And I am keeping under my body. And you always have to do it. It always starts taking back over. And you learn to deny yourself and do that. Next one, speaking of which, is deny yourself. Luke 9:23. This is a familiar verse. You could probably finish it if I started. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny himself. Can I ask you something? A lot of times we don't get what we want, but it's not because we denied ourselves. It's because we didn't get what we wanted. We didn't have enough money. We didn't have the opportunity. But how often do you just deny yourself? Say, self, you can't do that. Jesus, the first thing he said, if any man come after me, he has to deny himself. And you know what? We look out for number one. And we do what we want to do. You ever think of how many things you're trained to do? I mean, you think about advertising now. It's gotten so much more graphic, but also it's gotten so much more selfish. It is, I mean, even the slogans now are, it's all about you. It's now time. It's time to do it right now. You only live once. It is just, we are programmed not to deny ourselves, to have it your way, to do it like you want to do it. I talk so much about mission shifts, but one of the things that really makes me do really well on mission trips is because I of course go on a mission trip thinking I'm going to rough it out and it's going to be hard, and I go in, I'm going to eat spider soup and I'm going to go in, it's going to be 180 degrees and I'm just ready for anything, and I prepare myself to do what I don't want to do. I don't want to offend anybody. Whatever they feed me, I know they're going to feed me spicy stuff. I don't like spicy stuff, but I'll eat it. And prepare myself for uncomfortable things, and I might not have a bed and everything, and I'm ready, I'm prepared. You know how spiritual I am when I go on a mission trip? Because I'm ready to deny myself. Why do I only do that on a mission trip? If you ask to offer me food at your house and I don't like it, you know what I do? Take it back. Give me something that I like. No, I don't. But, you know, we're so used to everybody catering to us. And you go to a restaurant and you go to the store and you want everybody, and you want to be able to buy exactly what you want. And we're not used to just doing without and acting content and being thankful and being appreciative. I mean, we don't live in the day of good enough. I mean, just think, you get a hand-me-down. Nobody does that anymore. And we don't go in where we're in high waters, and we're going nowhere, and we don't go in and this is all I have. This is it. We don't live in that day of, you know what? This is all the foods we have, kid. You have one potato for your meal. We just don't. We don't live in that day. Now, people around the world have an easier time denying their flesh because they're not used to getting what they want and denying themselves. We're used to just custom order everything we want. When was the last time you got in your car and said, I'm not going to turn the air conditioning on. I'm just going to be hot this ride. Or when was the last time when it's cold and you didn't turn the heat on? Because you said, I need to just be uncomfortable. When was the last time you went and you said, you know what, I'm just going to deny myself? See, a lot of times that stuff happens and you joke about it. It's because you have to. It's not because you choose to. You say you don't have air conditioning, so you don't turn it on. That's different. When you have air conditioning, you don't turn it on. That's denying yourself. I'm not saying you have to do that every ride, but when you find your flesh creeping up, you have to deny yourself. I don't want to be that person's friend. I don't want to talk to them. That's probably the person God's going to have you go talk to. Why? So you can deny yourself. So you can get rid of your flesh. I don't want to be nice to them. It hurts my pride. I had somebody one time say to me, this person just thinks they're my authority and they're always telling me what to do and I can't stand. They have no right to tell me to what to do. They're not my authority anyway. I said, you know what? What a great opportunity for you to show how much you love Jesus. Why don't you just go and completely submit to them and act like they're your boss? They said, I can't do that. See, if you denied yourself, you could walk up to anybody, your worst enemy, and say, you know what? You know what? You're right. I shouldn't. I'll do whatever you say. I'm fine. I'm here to serve you. And do it without sarcastically. And let them think, see, I put you in your place. And you, because you're dead to yourself, don't even say a word that they didn't put you in your place. You put yourself into your place. That's denying yourself. That's denying yourself. Now, I understand there's a time. And by the way, there's some people who need to stand up because their flesh says, I don't like standing up to anything. I hate conflict. I don't want to do anything. And it's a time to stand up for yourself. You got to do it because you're supposed to do it. You've got to be able to go contrary to what your flesh is telling you to do. And that's what you got to do. Next one we're going to go to, Romans 8. So we've seen we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. We're supposed to be temperate. We're supposed to deny ourselves. And Romans 8 in verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Here's our next word, mortify. Mortify in the Greek is nekro, which means to deaden something. Kill it. Put it to death. Mortify the deeds of the body. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall live. Mortify the deeds of the body. It means to deaden the flesh. You deaden your flesh. Now, let me really help you understand the whole message in just 3 minutes of explaining. Your flesh gets fed by getting what it wants. And as it gets itself satisfied, it gets stronger and more passionate and bigger. It becomes a big lion, a big strong animal. And as you don't feed it, it gets weaker and more timid and not as strong and not as aggressive. And it kind of goes back into its cage. And it gets very easy to deal with your flesh. So somebody gets saved in a third world country, they get on fire for God. Why? Their flesh is not all the time. Their flesh isn't fed all the time. So it's very easy to just live for God because they're used to suffering. They're used to not getting what they want. Their flesh is not fed all the time. Their flesh is weaker than ours. We are kings historically. We have so much. Our flesh is fed all the time. So I go around and I meet a third world Christian and they are on fire for God and ready they go. And I'm just like, oh man, this is the best thing. And then God, what does he do? He puts me in America so I can die. And I myself, and so I say, man, let's go to church. And I've been talking to Christians who are under persecution to go to church. They could be killed for going to church. And they're happy to be at church. And they go, I'm just kind of tired today. And I have to die my flesh not to kill them. Because they don't understand. Do you ever see what your Savior did for you? But our flesh is so strong, they almost think you're cultish if you talk about really denying yourself and becoming a great Christian. It's like, you expect me to do what? I'm shy. I can't witness. Reading a Bible, you know how busy I am? I'm tired. Go to church 3 times a week? Because the flesh is so strong. It's this monster in them. And you say, do this. And they're going, the flesh going, I don't want to do that. Rawr! Submit to your brother. Do what he says. I know he thinks he's your boss. Submit to him. No, I can't do it. Love your enemy. How in the, here's what people say. They're so used to not denying themselves. They say, how in the world can you do that? Why? Because their flesh has been fed and fed and fed by what? Getting everything they want. Getting everything you want. So Luke back here from Haiti, he comes and talks to me one day. We're talking one day and he says, Pastor, you preach good. You preach hard. He says, why do Americans say they're Christians and then do all these bad things? I say, I don't know. I don't know why they do them. Because the flesh, they're used to doing what they want to do. And God says, sacrifice. You see, I can't. I don't want to. And they're not used to doing what they don't want to do. So Tom Williams says, God, whenever you need me to pray, wake me up. And Tom Williams says, I get knocks on my empty house door, on my bedroom door. He says, I don't even go open it anymore. This happens so many times. I just get up and pray, 2 a.m, 3 a.m. But you know what? We're so used to getting our beauty rest and the amount of sleep we want. If all of a sudden God woke you up at 3 this morning, you ready to pray? Or are you going to say, is there a snooze for God? Why? Because you're used to getting what you want. And so you've got to learn your flesh has been fed and fed and fed and fed and fed. And thank God for the blessings. And thank God I rode to church in air conditioning and I'm in air conditioning church. So I'm going to have to deny myself because I get nice things. And I have a wife who's a good cook. And I get a lot of nice things and I'm blessed and by the way, I think I'm blessed and get way too spoiled and I don't live like most Americans. But we are so far over the edge of spoiledness I mean, I used to go to a guy at the restaurant, and this guy, when the food came out, he would put his hand over the food to see if it was the right temperature. And I mean, he'd get, before the waitress left, you know what, this is a little bit too hot, or this is a little bit too, he was Goldilocks, and he had to have it just right. And so we are so used to everything. How about food is good? I said over medium, and it's a little over hard. There's no run in this. I like about 18.4% of my yolk to run onto my toast. Come back here and recook that. You know how spoiled we are? So then he walks out, and you like spicy, they make it sweet. You like sweet, and they make it spicy. You're so used to getting your flesh fed that when it's time to get right, and all of a sudden God speaks you into service, and you're in it, you're in a conviction, and God's saying, do this thing, and you're a conviction, all of a sudden you say, I don't want to go down there. The God of the universe took the privileged time to come down and tap in your heart. And because you're afraid to scoot by somebody, you're afraid of what somebody will think about you, or because you just feel like staying in your seat, you're going to stay there because your flesh is telling you what to do. You got to learn to mortify, put it to death. Remember that word, you beat it up and taunt it until it's dead. And then you do it, and that's the way you do it. Next word, 2 Peter 2:11. Now that I explain that concept a little more, we'll go a little faster here. 2 Peter 2:11. So what are we supposed to do in bringing ourselves into possession of our flesh? We're supposed to go and be a living sacrifice. We're supposed to be temperate and keep under our bodies. We're supposed to deny ourselves and mortify ourselves. And then we're supposed to abstain. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Fleshly lust. Sarkikos is the Greek word, pertaining to the flesh, that is, by extension, bodily, temporal, or by extension, animal, or unregenerate. See, what does an animal do? A dog doesn't walk up to his beautiful bone and say, you know what, that bone is there, but I'm not going to take it because some other dog might want that bone. Dogs don't do that. They're just animal. They just naturally do what's normal. And we become like animals. We just, whatever I want to do. I want a church like this. I want to go to church like this. I want to meet this person. I want to date this person. I want to live this way. I don't want to read a Bible tonight. I want to do that. And we're just like an animal. We just do whatever we want to do. But God made us conscious so we can choose. And this life is a short life where we can sacrifice and live for God. And by the way, here you go. You say, tomorrow morning you get up and you deny yourself, and you get up when God wants you to get up, and you go up and you decide what God wants you for breakfast, and maybe God says, don't eat breakfast. You don't eat breakfast. And you go out and you get yourself under, and all of a sudden your body, you can tell it what to do every second. And you know what? Guess what? You're free now to enjoy things. Nothing wrong with good food. Nothing wrong with sleeping in if you have the time and you plan on it. Nothing wrong with turning the air conditioning, but you are telling your body what to do. You've earned that because your flesh is very weak. But in 2 days, you might be going and bringing your body into subjection. But it says abstain. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Next, this one's a little tougher, Galatians 5. So you're supposed to, somebody else in your home is supposed to do this chore. You know what? You feel like you're not dead to yourself. You know what you do? You walk up to your brother and you say, you know what? I know that's your chore, but I want to do it for you. Why don't you just go sit down on the couch? That went over as good as the fast food one this morning. All right, let's try something easier. Galatians 5. We'll just do what he says here. And they that are, verse 24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Crucify is the next word. crucify. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Crucify. Yeah, nailing it to a cross, your flesh. With the lust thereof. Okay, I'll do the chores. They have crucified the flesh with the lust thereof. You're putting it to death. Let's look at 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Dead to this stuff. Let me take you to Romans 6. Crucify your flesh. Wow. Now that's strong language, isn't it? Amen? Crucifying your flesh. Wow. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see what it's saying there. So crucify your flesh. Make it die. Put it to death. Get it under control. Next, Romans 13. Next one, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Do not make a plan to fulfill the lust of flesh. Do not make it easy to do what's wrong. Do not have things that are going to tempt you. Make no provision. If you have a problem with watching bad things, don't have the bad things in your house. Cut the cable. If you have a problem with anger, you got to take steps and how to be patient. You've got to not make provision and plan for falling. You've got to not make provision for those things and to fulfill the lust. And so don't make any provision for your flesh. Now, those are what God says about what we're supposed to do to our flesh. About what you're supposed to do to your body. And you know what? We have to do this like nobody's ever had to do it because our flesh is huge because we've been given everything we want. We are used to having it our way. We are so proud. We are so spoiled. We're used to everything custom just to us. We instead of saying I have a chair to sit on, I said I want a recliner that vibrates, that has massager, that does this and that, and that combs my hair. And we want, you ever seen? I mean, everything is just getting so elaborate. I mean, look at cars. I mean, a car, you know, used to be Model A. You know, you can have any color you want as long as it's black. As Henry Ford said, is it black? It's black. Any color you want as long as it's black. And you know what? That car, you know what kind of options it had? Had a steering wheel. That's what it had. And you know what? If somebody got one of those and it ran, they were highfalutin. And they were pretty thrilled to have a car. You know how spoiled I am in a car? Now, I don't need a nice car, but two things. I love cruise control. My right foot is really heavy for some reason. And if I don't have cruise control, I just keep going faster and faster. And so I like cruise control. So keep, because the Bible says you submit to authority. And so I try to keep the speed limit. Try is the key word. But try to keep the speed limit. And then I like air conditioning. I hate heat. I hate humidity. I love air conditioning. And no, I don't live it. I preach. I turn it on. Do you think about people who just like a car? But forget my air conditioning and cruise control. You know what cars have nowadays? I mean, heated seats, lumbar adjustment, air conditioned seats. You see his Geo, that thing, whew, tell you. And it does. Video players, my car now, I just got. I didn't buy it for that. And push-button parking, sonar, heated mirrors, what? Automatic door. Yeah, look at all these doors. I'm watching these doors. I'm walking by somebody's doors. It's like a ghost. The door is closing by itself. That's right. So I tried to give it away. It spooks me out. And I mean, these cars have everything. I'd never get me a self-closing door. I know the second that door is almost closed, some kid's fingers. But I mean, it is, we have so much, and they just give us such incredible comfort. And what do you want to watch on TV? It's not like there's six channels anymore. On my TV there is. Three are fuzzy. But you know, there is, I don't know, hundreds. I mean, whatever you want. We are so spoiled. So here's what we got to do. We've got to die to ourselves. We've got to not spoil ourselves. You're not living in Ireland in 1812 where your choice of dinner was, do you want your potatoes boiled or do you want them scalloped? You can buy anything in the world. You know, I could go tonight. I could have lamb if I wanted. I can have beef if I wanted. I can have pork if I wanted it. I can buy anything. I mean, just, it's there. There, and I could get any spice. You know how hard it used to be to get spice? You understand? Thousands of people died to get spice. It was like gold. And now, got all kinds of weird stuff. I didn't know. We don't use half of the bottles in our thing. They're buried in the back of some cabinet back there, and they knock them in. And they're always in the way, getting knocked around until you need them. And then they're gone forever. And we are so spoiled, so many things that our flesh is just massive, and any sacrifice for God's unconceivable. And really loving our enemies, and really humbling ourselves, and let somebody walk on us, and go with their enemy 2 miles, and praying without ceasing, and really reading our Bibles, and praying, and walking with God, and come at every church service when you're tired, and praying when you don't feel like it. And all the stuff that's hard to do is inconceivable to most Christians, because their flesh is so big and strong. So we've got to deny ourselves. We've got to kill our flesh. We've got to do this. So here's our homework. Let me take you to Galatians 5. Get the first one, and there's two of them. I don't want to do homework. Galatians 5. And so I come to church as a pastor. I say, how do I pastor Americans? And I could bend everything to comfort them and make their life easy and get a big crowd. However, I'll never make good Christians by them being spoiled. So why bother? All they're going to do is gripe when everything's not perfect. Preach my sermon I preach this morning in the average church in America today. I have to have like a plexiglass thing so I don't get tomatoes thrown at me. Why? Because they're spoiled. The flesh is strong. And so you got to deny your flesh. And so for Galatians 5, God tells us what to do here. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's pretty simple. We got to walk in the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. What you want to do, you cannot do it, it says. Because your flesh lusts against the Spirit. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So here's your first homework. The Holy Spirit knows what you need to do to deny yourself. Be led of the Spirit. It's your first homework. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Father, lead me what you want me to eat for breakfast. But he said oatmeal, and I don't like oatmeal. They're catching on. And here's the way we are. Okay, oatmeal, but I'll only eat apple spice oatmeal. You've tried it. What's that? With raisins? Tomorrow you're no raisins for you. And you know. We're in trouble. You know, but here's the thing. You ever try to feed a kid nowadays? You ever try to feed kids? You're like, I know, I'll get him Cheetos. These are Flaming Hot, but these are not Flaming Hot Lemon Onion Cheetos. I mean, I could have made $1 million. Somebody's going to market that. And so You say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lord, tell me who to talk to today. Lord, may the Spirit lead me what to do today. You'll be shocked how much the Holy Spirit will start leading you. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. But the Spirit will not lead you in the lust of the flesh because they're contrary. And you're going to find out, at the start off, you're going to say, why do you keep asking me to do the things I don't want to do? Why don't you ask me to eat ice cream? Or put chocolate chip in my oatmeal or something. And so the Spirit's not going to. Because he's going to lead you to victory. And so when you say, Father, lead me today, may the Spirit guide me, you'll be surprised how all of a sudden these ideas, go talk to that person, go witness to them. And you'll think you're imagining it because it's going to be so often and such what you don't want to do. Go do their chores. Go. You know what, get up at 6:30. See what that looks like. Some of you will find out the sun rises gradually. It doesn't pop up at noon. And so you do that. And so you be led of the Spirit. You be led of the Spirit. And secondly, your second homework is this. It's really simple. I want you to counsel yourself. I want you to be your own counselor. And don't cheat on yourself. And say, you know what? Here's what you are selfish in. Here's what your flesh tells you to do. And tell yourself what you need to change and what you need to deny yourself in. Because I think we know. We just don't want to admit how we're spoiled. And you might tell yourself, you know what? You should eat bread and butter for 3 meals today. And water. The kids are looking going, what is that? And he might say, you know what? Eat vegetables. Or he might say, you know what? You love salt on your food. No salt for breakfast. You might do all kinds of things. But counsel yourself and say, what should you do to deny yourself? And you know what? You might counsel yourself at what time to get up in the morning. Don't decide what time to get up by when you feel like waking up or when you cannot sleep anymore. What time would be wise to get up? What time of God? And here's what you do. Tell yourself what your schedule should be. How much should you read your Bible? How much do I feel like reading a Bible today? How much do I feel like praying? No. Tell yourself. Counsel yourself and write it down. Give yourself some good advice. And then do it. And you say, I'm going to hate myself. Yeah. Because the Bible says, counsel in the heart of man is like a deep well, and a man of understanding will draw it out. You know inside of you the way you should be living. Did you hear that? You know inside of you the way you should be living, but your flesh has not let you. So tell yourself, you know what? You know you should spend this much time in prayer. You know you should read your Bible. You know that you need to call that person and tell them you're sorry. You know what you should be doing. Your flesh is so strong, it's saying, don't you say a word. You say, okay. I'll just stay in my little world of happy. And then when you get, and you're there with your family, and they're sitting there, and you get ice cream, and you get this perfect big pile of ice cream, and there's one cherry on top, and that's your favorite part. And your brother walks by and says, I want that cherry. And you say, your flesh says, kill him. And you say, sure, you can have it. And you watch him take it and say, wow, I'm under control. And you eat the rest. And but you go, you put chocolate chips on it then. And you go and you do it. And but you know what? You're denying yourself. And hey, listen to me. You say, I would be miserable. I would be so unhappy if I lived that way. No. Once you deny yourself and get yourself under control, are we being vaporized into space or something? I don't know what the sound is. And you get yourself under control, all of a sudden you find yourself free to do anything for God. And I don't know how to tell you it, but it's wonderful. And now you can go because your flesh is dead and you can enjoy the things. And do anything God tells you to do. But you got to do the hard things and deny yourself. All right, I went too long, and let's go ahead and pray, and let's talk to God about it. Father, I pray we do what we ought to do. Help us to die to ourselves, Lord. Help us to crucify the flesh. Help us to abstain. Help us to go and bring our bodies in subjection like Paul had to back then. Lord, please help us to do these things, just to learn to control ourselves. Just die, just kill the flesh. If we wanted to go order this at the restaurant and you lead us, just change it to something that's not that good to us. If whatever we got to do, Lord, I pray there's 1,000 things we can deny ourselves in. I want to wear this today, I'll wear this. Whatever it is, Father, I pray we do those two things. We be led of the Spirit and then counsel ourselves in the life that we should be living and tell ourselves to do it. Help us to learn to bring our body into subjection. And whatever you had with this message and with Jesse's also, Father, which kind of went along with it, turning our laughter into tears, Lord. Help us to be willing to live for you. Because, Lord, if we can't control ourselves, we can't give our lives to you. If we can't control our flesh, help us to do so. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. It's tough.